Dear God, in the wondrous name of your Son Jesus, we just praise you. Because we're praising the Son and we're so thankful for the blood that flowed freely from Calvary for each and every one of us here today. Lord God, that great love wherewith we are loved, allow the Holy Spirit this day to shed it abroad in our heart. May we be a more loving people this day. May we be a more thankful people this day. Because of your love and only because of your grace, dear God, you have brought us into this place. Now, Jesus, as we feast upon you this morning, and we know we're feasting upon you and your word, may we be just praising our wonderful Lord for the grace that has been shed. Now, Lord, we do ask that your Holy Spirit come and anoint. May we magnify you. May we rejoice in that wonderful love. May it break down every barrier this morning. May we again tend upon the things of you today without distraction. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going back to Genesis chapter 12 this morning. And we've been here the last couple weeks rejoicing in the transformation of Brother Abram. We've read the last couple weeks through these first 9 verses how Abram was called out of the land of Haran. And he was called to Canaan. And God had a promise. He had a vision for this brother's life. And this brother allowed the vision of God for him to enter his life. And so precious that this brother departed and moved. He left everything. He took only the things that God had told him. His wife, his nephew Lot, the souls that were with him, and he moved with God. And so wonderful, we've been thankful and rejoicing in the worship that transformed this brother's life in the place of Canaan. And today we're going to pick it up in the 10th verse. As he is now dwelling in Canaan, there is something that happens. And let's read from the 10th verse of the 12th chapter. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they shall kill me. But they shall save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh, and his house was great with plague, because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her. And go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went his journeys from the south even to Bethel, the house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. What a wonderful story. Praise God, what a wonderful truth. And aren't you thankful today for the faithfulness of God? Amen. Amen. Bringing us back, restoring us, the infinite grace of God that is always on the job. giving us everything, brothers and sisters, but especially giving us the place of worship. The place of worship. The closest place to God. The place that we speak with God. The place that where God appears to us. And yet, as we see here, so often is the case, we're not satisfied. A little adversity comes and off we go. I was thinking, and the Lord, I believe, has had this on my heart for years now. The present day fad of church hopping. You know what church hopping is, where you move from one meeting to the other meeting, and it's an itch that's never satisfied. It just isn't. And I have to tell you, it is alive and well today in many a grace meeting. Now, I want you to understand this. I am all for anything the Lord is for. And the Lord is for moving through the land to get into Canaan. To get into the house of God. Just as Abraham did. But I'm telling you, once we have found the house of God, once if we have moved into Bethel, by all means, we need to be thankful. We need to be rejoicing, and by all means, we need to be content to stay. Amen. Oh, yes. Don't let the enemy dupe us, brothers and sisters, with some adversity. Adversity is going to come. It's absolutely going to come. And I've seen it in many silly ways. I was thinking how I've heard sometimes even this. Well, Sister So-and-so said something about my dress. Now, I'm not kidding. Brother this and that looked at me funny. Well, how about that preacher that he's preaching on something today, and I know he's talking about something that I said. That meddler. Or, oh, that preacher, what a simpleton. I could do much better than he. Well, I want to give you some, I believe, godly advice that the Lord gave me some years ago. He said to me, son, if you've been blessed with a church that speaks the truth in love, if you've been blessed with a place that preaches the full counsel of God, rightfully divided, be thankful. Be so thankful. And if you're still unhappy with the people, if you're still unhappy with your pastor, you need to get up and go look in the mirror. Recognize the problem. This is godly advice, I'm telling you. And get on your knees and ask the Lord to break up your hardened heart. Amen. I've been there. I have been there. And it is one of the greatest tools of the devil to defeat your life. The true worshiper, brothers and sisters, worships God in the face of adversity. And adversity comes in many different ways. But I'm telling you, when you worship God in the face of adversity, that's the mother lode. It's the thing that the devil hates the most, because victory is at hand. You're not caring what's around you. You're not worrying about the circumstances. You're not worrying about the waves that are coming, because you're rising above. As a dear sister sent to me the last couple days, I'm buoyant. Faith has made me buoyant. I'm riding the waves. Praise be to God. He's got me. He's got me. A true worshiper, brothers and sisters, accepts the cutting of diamonds upon diamonds. I hope that there's many a diamond in this place. I believe by the grace of God there is much precious stone here. But diamonds are what are used to cut diamonds. But I'm going to tell you, there have been many times that I have felt that I have walked through this place and felt that, Lord, I have diamond dust up to my neck. Oh, yeah, come on. Amen. And how about, have you ever complained, Lord, that cut, it's gone a little too deep this time, huh? Something had to have happened here. I don't have any legs anymore. And yet the Lord so sweetly said, oh, no, son, look. Look in my eyes. And you know, I'd look down and I'd say, oh, Lord, not only do I have legs, they're more perfect, they're stronger, they're more able to stand and withstand and stand again than I've ever been able to stand. Adversity, brothers and sisters, it's so necessary. The resistance in order to build the muscle in the natural. It's a fact. Without it, you can't do it. Right. Without trials, we can never be refined beyond the gold into the very perfect bride for Jesus Christ. The cutting has to take place because that dress is not going to be altered one bit. The body will fit perfectly. And are you willing, am I willing, to allow that wonderful, wonderful cuts of love that cuts so deep and hurts so much at times, that yet, Lord, I'm willing to go. Praise be to God. Now look, I understand. It is easier, brothers and sisters. It's always easier to go down. The famine was in the land. I got to fill my belly. First problem, I'm starting to think of something down here instead of something God's got for me. See, only He's going to be the one that's going to satisfy. Right. Little adversity comes, and often it's our nature. We just flee. We're not going to fight. We're just going to go. But I'm going to tell you something. Call it what it is, because it's quitting. But the glory is going to be in standing. The glory is going to be in allowing the Lord to persevere in your life. The glory is going to be allowing God to do what He wants to do. And I'll tell you this, as we've heard many times in this place, staying in the halfway house will always be the greatest regret of your life. Amen. As you see the others go on and receive that wondrous glory of saying, Lord, yes, it is tough. That mountain sure does seem high. There's nothing like it. Amen. We've tasted of it, brothers and sisters. God, in His infinite grace, has given us a message, the dispensation of Paul, that He is going to have that bride and she's going to rule and reign with Him. Now do you understand why it doesn't satisfy you anything else? It's just the truth. Praise be to God. I remember talking to these people that had driven these certain kind of cars. Well, you drive a Mercedes. I could never drive a Chevy. I hope you'd be content in whatsoever state you're in. But at the same time with the Lord, it's so far beyond that. When He's allowing you to taste and see that He is good, and you've tasted of the high calling, wondrous fruit that He has for you, God, I don't want anything else. It's just too good. A lot of people wrestle with that. I don't believe you've ever really tasted with it. Come and feast with Him. Praise God. He'll take us where we need to go. But see, when we depart from Bethel, brothers and sisters, when we depart from the house of God, it says here very clearly, we will go down. God's best will never be found on your terms. God's best will never be found on your terms. And once you leave the house of Bethel and you go down, there is only one place that you're headed, and that is Egypt. And Egypt speaks of the figure of the world. And brothers and sisters, it is very clear. It's either going to be God, or it's going to be mammon, the Word of God tells us. It is. This day is choose ye whom you're going to serve. There's no middle ground. You're either moving with God or you're headed down. And you know it. You know when you're moving with God. There's an excitement. There's a thrill. There's a peace that passes understanding. That you know you're moving with God. The author of chaos is the enemy. If you're confused today, I encourage you to trust God. I encourage you to call out on His name and say, Lord, let this mind be in me that's also in you. You want me to have it. You want me to have perfect peace. You're the God of perfect peace. And as His children today, that's your right. That's what you have. By the grace of God, this brother, he told him, possess the land. It is yours to possess. The devil wants to keep you out of rest. He wants to keep you out of peace. But don't you understand the reason is because you've left the house of God. Don't leave the house of God. The devil is so subtle, he's so crafty. It's not just a place, it's a state of heart. It's a state of compromise, if you will. It's compromise. The enemy knows he cannot keep a Christian out of heaven. Right. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Get that now. Amen. Allow God to let you rest in that. When He said you have everlasting life, He meant it. when he said, you have incorruptible seed, it can't be corrupted. Now I'm ready to move on because I'm getting a vision of the grace of God. So he knows he can't keep us out of that. But let me tell you something, the devil's always on the job too. Absolutely. And all he wants to do is the second work, which is to keep you from God's best. And all he has to do to keep you from God's best is to get you to move out of Bethel. To get you to move out of the house of God. A state of compromise. Oh my. You've heard it said many times before, brothers and sisters, if you don't stand for something, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't stand in faith, you will fall in compromise. And it's an absolute truth. And it's not an I told you so, but I've been, by the grace of God, in His hand for many years to observe and to see things. And I've seen so many lives, Christian lives, absolutely destroyed because of one thing, compromise. Compromise. And compromise does not stop. When you enter compromise, it accelerates too. And you enter compromise for too long, and let me tell you something, you'll end up doing things you never thought possible. Look at Abram here. You think about it, men. You love your wives today? I hope you do. God told you to. If you don't, ask God to love them. It's as simple as it is. If you ask believing, well, it's a whole different sermon, but ask believing. He works in them that effectually that believe Him.
That's right.
Believe Him. Trust Him. Is it hard for Him to part a Red Sea? Is it hard for Him to shut the lion's mouth? Is it hard for Him to set every one of the stars and how much water we have and how much land we have and how we have a perfect planet in a sense that we're messing up every day? But that's another story too. But nothing's hard for God. Huh? Praise the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him. But you think about it, it didn't take long for Abram to compromise his wife. I can't imagine that. Now, but for the grace of God, there go any of us. Don't get too haughty. But could you imagine compromising your own wife that quickly before it even happened? He stepped out of Bethel and in a moment he was operating in fear.
Yep, that's right.
That fast. I can step into Bethel and I can operate in faith. It's as simple as it is. If you ask believing, well, it's a whole different sermon, but ask believing. He works in them that effectually that believe Him.
Right.
Believe Him. Trust Him. Is it hard for Him to part a Red Sea? Is it hard for Him to shut the lion's mouth? Is it hard for Him to set every one of the stars and how much water we have and how much land we have and how we have a perfect planet in a sense that we're messing up every day? But that's another story too. But nothing's hard for God. Huh? Praise the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him. But you think about it, it didn't take long for Abram to compromise his wife. I can't imagine that. Now, but for the grace of God, there go any of us. Don't get too haughty. But could you imagine compromising your own wife that quickly before it even happened? He stepped out of Bethel and in a moment, he was operating in fear.
Yep, that's right.
That fast. I can step into Bethel and I can operate in faith.
Amen.
Just like his family. But he didn't love them very much to go into the very most vile city there's ever been and raise them up in Sodom.
That's right.
Step out of the house of Bethel and you don't know what you'll do. I was thinking again of Brother Aaron. What a wonderful man of God. And yet he was the one that took the gold from the people and formed a calf for them to come and worship.
Yeah.
But for God.
That's right.
but for God. Apart from God, we don't really know how low we'll sink, do we? I've seen people on fire for the things of God in their life. On fire. Honestly. That in one generation, they compromised and got defeated. And today I see their children and they're not even saved. I don't understand it. I really don't. It breaks my heart. Do we really realize what we have? Do you really realize who you are? And how much more time are we going to waste? You're children of the King. You're seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ right now. Do you believe the Word of God or do you not? Are we going through this life as Christians and just wishy-washy? I don't want to do that. I want to believe Him at His Word. And He tells me that I'm a son. And He's pleading with me to grow up. He's pleading with you to take your right. I think of the freedom that I have in the Lord. I was thinking of, I'm going to be with my family this morning. And you're my family. And the freedom that I have with my family. People say, are you this free outside of these doors? Sure, I'm free in a sense, but I'm not free like I am with my family. This is my family of God. I'm in the house of Bethel. It's mighty. It's mighty. And as I take my right by the grace of God, I possess the land. I possess the land. People don't realize that I possess the land. Now, I don't want you to get a little fruity on that, but you do possess the land. I go shopping. I possess the land. I go into my work and I possess the land. And in my home, especially, brothers and sisters, possess the land. Don't let that enemy defeat you. No. Man, we're fighting the good fight of faith. You're fighting the only fight that's worth fighting for. You're fighting things today that you shouldn't even be part of. I know it. And you're wasting time. Well, I've got to get to this level and I've got to get to that. And you don't understand. I've got to put this and that together. Oh, no, you don't. You better let go and know that He is God. Or you're going to continue to live a life of compromise. And you're moving one way or the other today, brothers and sisters. You're either moving in the land of Canaan or you have moved out. There's no middle ground. You're either in it or you're out. Okay. You try to live your Christianity in and with this world, you'll become so leavened. It'll become good God, good devil, good everybody. Yes, we've heard that. We know it. And you know what? It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. You compromise, you will not have a stand. You compromised and you'll be run over at every corner. You will. You may seem, well, I don't have any more arguments anymore. Seems like I don't have any more fight. That's right, you don't have any more fight because you're not fighting the good fight of faith. You live for God, and let me tell you something. You're going to face adversity. You might as well know it. Because He told you so. He has pleasure in the good fight of faith. He loves to see His children being encouraged and built and strengthened in the very power of His might. Man, I love living a life full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you? I do. Full of the Holy Ghost. Not filled 20 years ago, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Power. Praise the Lord. But see, you depart, I depart from giving God the glory and being thankful. I encourage you to go home again, read the latter part of Romans 1. And every one of those sins awaits you. You're not immune from sin, but for God. but for God. Oh, yes. Oh, I would never do that. I hate to tell you all the people I know that said I would never do that and what they're doing today. Brothers and sisters, we live in the greatest time of Christian compromise there has ever been. Truly. The form of godliness that denies the power thereof is rampant in the land. It's shameful for you to profess the name of Jesus pretty much outside of these doors or any other Christian church that really professes the love of God, which is His Son. It's not right. You're a bigot. You're prejudiced. You have no vision. There must be multiple ways. Brothers and sisters, there is but one way. And Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You come along maybe this Wednesday, if the Lord tarry, you realize that you can't even call Him God except for Jesus. That excites me. I don't know about you. I'm starting to understand now how exclusive it really is. Now, He wanted everybody to be saved. I want you to understand that. But you cannot call upon God. You can't approach God. God will not hear you except in the name of His Son, Jesus. Absolutely. In the natural, you know, I have a couple sons. I would hope you would acknowledge them. If you didn't, it would offend me. Sure it would. Any rightful parent. Absolutely. Especially if I had something that I had built up and kind of given to them or whatever. But this is God. God put every bit of glory in His Son. God put every bit of His power in His Son. God put every bit of His peace, His rest, His honor, and everything in His Son. And He made it that simple. You talk about one-stop shopping. It is. I don't have to think about all these things. It's just in one place. It's a place that's never moved. It's a place that's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. People are always asking me, well, I would love to see God do a miracle. I would love to see Him light a candle. I would love to see Him part a sea. I'd love to see Him. Live for Jesus and you'll see a miracle. You'll see it. It will happen. Line upon line, precept upon precept of the faith of God. He'll build the very Word of God in you. But you won't ever have Him on your own terms. Oh no. We cannot afford to neglect so great salvation, brothers and sisters. And the reason that I say that is because Jesus is on the wing. He's just about ready to show up. Okay? Just put it real blunt. He's just about ready to show up. And see, that is a given. He promised. I'm coming. Absolutely. But the question is are we going to show up? Now, what did He say in that? I'm talking about showing up in the clouds. I'm talking about airborne saints. I'm talking about those that are caught away, throne only, first company. Brothers and sisters, I can't imagine to miss this great calling. It's just too good. It's absolutely too good. You talk about a gathering. You talk about a moment. And now I've got a dear sister and I'm so appreciative again of the Lord and how precious it is. Yes, there is a hurt, a great hurt, especially for the family. But she's home. But I understand that, praise God, she's rejoicing with the Lord. She's rejoicing in that. There's no more fear. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more upsetting. Oh no. But I'm telling you what. There is a groaning going on still. For the manifestation of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
And it's just about time. And brothers and sisters, as we close out this thought on worship, I tell you this. Truth without love, it has no passion. Truth without love has no passion. Whereas love without truth, it has no vision. But praise God, when we have a vision that's full of passion, don't you love to magnify the grace of God?
Amen.
Don't you love it when He uses you as a vessel by the grace of God? That I'm not just hopeful, I'm abounding in hope.
Amen.
It's exciting to abound in hope. And it's not a hope of some wishful thing as we've been glorying in. It's absolute confidence in the work on the cross. And that right now, that I, that you, are His workmanship.
Hallelujah.
Possessing both brothers and sisters' passion and vision, it's perfect symmetry. It's perfect, fully purposed. It's fervent love. Nothing but the real deal.
Amen.
Don't you love the real deal? Praise God. And you know that real deal in our hearts is, Jesus, I'm coming to you too. Praise God, I know you're coming for me. But He told me to draw nigh as to kiss. I'm done with this old world. I'm drawing nigh to you. No more pretense. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home. Hallelujah. No more praying. Praise God, someday it's going to cease, but worship is going to go on forever. And all we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is draw nigh and kiss Him. The love affair of the ages. And I couldn't even touch upon it. And He's here today on His knee for you. I can't even tell you. I hope you see Him. He's asking for your heart. Do we have a heart that panteth for Him as David? Are we a people after the very heart of God as David? That wasn't just for him. He said that all men would come into that. He's not a respecter of person today. You may be visiting here the very first time. I don't know. But God's after you. God is after you before the foundation of the world. God says in His Scripture that He saw your life, your individual life, before the foundation of the world. And you alone were important enough for Him to send His Son to die for you.
Right.
And when His Son was upon that cross, He said, because of the joy that's set before me, Father, we're going to have a family.
Amen.
We're going to have a family. I'm going to bring man and I'm going to have a family. Oh, but Son, it's not good for you to just live alone, in a sense, just with family. There's a wife that has made herself ready. Brothers and sisters, may we be that wife today. May we be ready. May we be loving His appearing. And say, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. Let's bow our heads. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, just stand and worship the Lord. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. While every head is bowed, dear God, in the name of Your Son, we say thank You for this time. Thank You for Your abundant mercy and grace. Lord, convict our hearts this morning to move into the land. In Jesus' name, amen.